3 of the 5-Star Wellbeing Podcast. I'm Arwen from Evenstar Wellbeing, and I'm delighted to be back hosting this third series of the show. I would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the lands on which this show is produced, the Wadawurrung peoples of the Kulin Nation. I pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. This land is stolen land, and sovereignty was never ceded. This land always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Whether you're new or a returning listener, I'm so pleased to have you here. If you're new, there are 49 episodes across series 1 and 2 for you to catch up on. There's so much goodness there, so please get into it. My website is evenstarwellbeing.com, and you can find all the episodes there, as well as all the information you need about my services as a holistic health coach and healer. So, on to this new series. Once again, I have a wide-ranging guest list to bring to you this season to help you feel better, be better, and do better in all aspects of your well-being and life. If you enjoy the show, it's super helpful if you share it with others that you think will get something from it, and it's even better if you rate and review the show on the platform that you're listening to it on, because then it will reach more people who you don't know but who will benefit from listening. So you're really paying it forward. I hope you get enjoyment and, even more importantly, education from this series. Be well. Well, hello and welcome to episode 58 of the 5-Star Wellbeing Podcast. I'm Arwen from Evenstar Wellbeing, and I'm delighted to bring you this fascinating and important conversation with leadership coach and healer Greg Whiting. Greg addresses the unique causative factors at play beneath pain, anxiety, and depression, namely the unresolved trauma that causes inflammation, compromises immune function, stagnates emotion, fogs thought, and creates hormonal imbalance. Greg loves to work with leaders to help them to be vessels of healing within their organizations, starting with themselves. I think you'll get a lot from this conversation, whether you are a leader in an organization or not. We are all leaders in our own lives. I just wanted to take a moment to let you know that this is the final episode in series 3 of the 5-Star Wellbeing Podcast. The format of the podcast is going to change in 2023. So I've really enjoyed in this series giving the space and the platform to many serious thought leaders to get information about their work and their services out there. But going forward, I've decided to focus more on people and guests that I want to bring to the stage for various reasons, and it's going to be a much more intermittent process, so there won't be any regularity to the episodes going forward. There may probably be a bit of a break between now and the first episode of series 4. I don't have anybody lined up yet that I want to bring on, but I wanted to be able to put some more time and energy into some other aspects of my work in the coming year. So I am doing a yin yoga teaching, and also wanted to spend some more time on my astrology practice as well as teaching other people Reiki. So I've got a few things to bring into my own practice in 2023, and something had to give. So it is the podcast in terms of regularity. If you have anyone that you think I should speak to, then please do feel free to contact me through my website, evenstarwellbeing.com. I'd love to hear from you, but just taking a bit of a different approach going forward. I really hope that you go back to any episodes that you've missed. If you haven't heard the previous 57 episodes, there is a lot of material there. There are a number in the first series of astrology episodes as well, where that was just me talking about each of the astrology signs. So if that's something that interests you, you might want to go back to them. But that's enough from me for now. For the meantime, please have a listen, get yourself a cuppa, go for a walk, whatever it is you like to do, and enjoy this conversation. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the 5-Star Wellbeing Podcast. I'm delighted today to be here with Greg Wheating. Greg helps leaders and entrepreneurs heal anxiety, depression, chronic pain, and trauma so they can lead with bold and courageous hearts. For 20 years, Greg has helped hundreds of clients reduce or eliminate their dependence on antidepressants, anxiety, pain, and sleep medications. He addresses the unique causative factors at play beneath pain, namely the unresolved trauma that causes inflammation, compromises immune function, stagnates emotion, fogs thought, and creates hormonal imbalance. These are all just wonderful things that I love to talk about. So I'm so pleased to have you here today, Greg. I'd love to start with just a bit about you focusing on really how you got to be doing what you're doing now is the point of me asking about your origin story. So it doesn't need to be anything that you don't want to talk about, but just try and help people to understand how you came to be doing the work that you are doing now.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first, thanks for having me. And yeah, my work today really stems from my own journey healing my own chronic pain, anxiety, and depression that, you know, it took me years to really understand that unresolved trauma was beneath all of my pain. So I spent a lot of time chasing and treating and suppressing symptoms. You know, I was just steps away from, you know, a path of pain and symptom management with medication when I was introduced to, you know, an alternative. And I didn't really understand the world of healing. You know, that's not how I was raised as a kid. When I had chronic ear infections and strep throat, I wanted nothing more than to go to a doctor and take a pill and feel better, right? That's just how I was raised. That's the world we seemingly live in.
Yep.
So, you know, I thought the same would be true for my chronic pain. And, you know, we're taught in the world of mental health that chemical imbalance is often what's driving anxiety and depression. So I thought that, well, then I probably need to treat a chemical imbalance if I'm really struggling here. And then I was introduced to energy medicine by happenstance. I was living in so much chronic pain at the time that a friend who was a massage therapist offered me a massage, which I actually turned down because physical pain was just too much, or physical touch just would have been too painful. And she introduced me to energy medicine, which I had never heard of. That was a completely foreign concept to me, but I was open. I was hungry for change and I wanted to feel better. And so we started to experiment. And within, you know, moments, I realized I had found something I didn't even know I was looking for. It was as if I had kind of suspended or lifted up above my pain body, that for my entire life, you know, who I was organized around my pain, right? My identity was organized around my pain. So I didn't even know who I was outside of that pain until I had that experience. And that was really eye-opening. And so that really started a journey of exploration and healing to realize I don't have to fight against pain, and I maybe don't even have to treat pain. I need to work with practices that help me connect to more of my essence, right? And years later in my studies, I came to understand the concept of innate wisdom. And innate wisdom was a term first developed in chiropractic, where, you know, if we have a paper cut, there is innate wisdom or a healing mechanism within us that orchestrates a healing response, right? It sends platelets and proteins and organizes all of these biochemical processes to heal that paper cut. So I discovered that really healing is just reconnecting us to our innate wisdom. It's not fighting against our pain. And When I discovered that, my whole world changed.
I love that reconnecting, healing is reconnecting us to our innate wisdom. That is just such a beautiful way to put it. So, just before I ask you my next question, so then you mentioned your studies. Can you just briefly tell us what you studied?
Sure. So yeah, energy medicine was a whole world of understanding Reiki, and the world of Reiki then introduced me to meditation. So I then was in India for about 8 months and learning a lot of somatic approaches to meditation, practices that are designed to help release stored stress and tension that stagnate in the body, particularly trauma. And so how do we release this stagnation and the stress in the body to really create more of the natural climate for a meditative state, which, I would define as a relaxed, alert awareness. From there, when I came back to the States, I started to study more energy medicine, a healthcare system called Body Talk, which is really far-reaching. It helps to basically restructure how the nervous system gets short-circuited because of stress and trauma. So it helps to reboot nervous system awareness to restore communication between all the different parts of the body, tissues, cells, hormones, neurotransmitters, and whatnot. And then that led me to the world of trauma and neuroscience. So I was already teaching a lot of these components. And one of my students, this is about 9 years ago, was a therapist. And she said, you're teaching trauma-informed healing. And at that point, I didn't really have that term, trauma-informed. I knew I was healing my own trauma, but I was really on this kind of intuitive path to heal myself. And she said, I'm a professor at the California Institute of Integral Studies, and I teach the trauma course for the therapy program there. Why don't you become a teacher's assistant or become my teacher's assistant and help the students with mindfulness-based practices? So that's where I started to develop more of kind of the trauma and neuroscience lens. So I think it's really helpful to have, a baseline understanding of the brain and the body and the nervous system to really help normalize what we might be experiencing in terms of a trauma response, in terms of how, the brain and the body and the nervous system are responding to adverse experiences. So over the years, I've kind of reverse engineered how I've kind of pieced together all of these practices, for my own healing to create as practical and accessible of a healing system for others.
Okay, cool. Thank you for that. I will ask you more about body talk. I thought that that was like your system, but you're saying that's something you studied and now you teach. Is that right?
Yeah, so my system is Prisma. Body talk is something I still practice with my one-on-one clients, and certainly practicing body talk has really helped inform how I understand energy and consciousness to function in the body. Then basically how I work with my students and what I teach my students is how to apply kind of a knowledge base from somatics and mindfulness and trauma and neuroscience and how to apply that knowledge base to the application and the practice of Reiki. And
Mm.
so I don't teach body talk, but what I developed is Prisma.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it's so cool and so kind of makes things more accessible perhaps to a wider audience when you can talk about the science, coming from that neuroscience side as well. Because, a lot of people with energy healing, just think it's, they just fail to accept that scientific fact that everything is energy and we are all energy. And of course, if we're, using and directing energy to heal, then that's going to be beneficial. But I think a lot of people still feel that it's a very woo-woo kind of thing. But to be able to combine the two in a way that people can understand is really great. So I'm so pleased that you're out there doing that.
Well, and that's a lot of, I think it's really important to both democratize and demystify healing, right? To make it accessible. And for me, energy medicine, what I love about energy medicine and Reiki, I think how to make that just easy to understand is if the body is a symphony orchestra. And so when we're experiencing health, all the different parts of the body and the mind and the spirit are functioning as a team. And that team is making sweet music, right? Mm. So every cell, every tissue, every muscle, every emotion, every thought, every hormone is in constant communication. And when we're in constant communication, you know, we're experiencing wholeness. And so there's a musicality of being. There's this harmonic resonance. But what happens with trauma and stress is the nervous system gets short-circuited and that communication starts to break down. So the different parts of the body, mind, and spirit are no longer communicating with one another. So we start to feel split and fragmented. And as that communication starts to break down, we start to experience noise. And that noise is presenting itself through our symptoms, through our pain, through our illness, right? So instead of trying to treat pain, symptoms, illness, or noise, what we want to do is restore the communication between the different parts. And as we do so, the noise starts to break up on its own. So that's how we restore connection to our innate wisdom. And then our natural capacity to be in harmony and balance starts to rebound on its own accord.
Yeah, thank you for that. So then I found it really interesting as well that you have taken this work into the world of leadership. Because again, you know, you kind of think that your common or garden corporate, you know, management type of person is potentially not going to be particularly open to this sort of work. So I think it's so wonderful that you are going down that intersection of leadership and trauma. I really don't think I've heard anyone else talk about this very much at all. So how and why did you get into this niche space in healing?
Sure. You know, I think the mental health is really at the forefront of a lot of conversation. I think it's really getting a lot of attention culturally. And so I think mental health in the workplace is starting to gain some recognition and attention. And I think as leaders, we have a unique opportunity to either perpetuate wounding and hurt and harm and trauma or heal, you know, wounding and hurt and trauma. Before I was in the world of healing, I was a leader in the nonprofit world. And I myself had my own lived experience of really leading from a trauma response, right? And really showing up to do good work in the world that I was very passionate about and that I, you know, was very mission driven. I was really built of purpose, but lacked fulfillment, right? Because my own trauma was running the show. And that was leading to tons of burnout and emptiness. And I think we're living in a world where, you know, trauma is an invisible epidemic. And yet more and more people are waking up to the fact that there's a great cost to this wounding that's not just taking place, you know, individually. You know, I often think that our own anxiety and depression, excuse me, is actually a very healthy response to an unhealthy environment. Mm-hmm. So I think we as leaders have a unique opportunity to foster a healthier environment and one that really centers wellness, one that centers mental health. And so I think it's important to take these conversations out of just the confines of our individual life and bring it more to public life. To help remove the stigma that a lot of folks are carrying. Because, yeah, oftentimes, again, if folks are treating a chemical imbalance, the message that is happening there that is being signaled is that something is wrong with the individual. So then we'll treat the individual's imbalance, but that imbalance is actually a healthy response to something going on in the environment. So the more we can have that conversation, the more I think it removes the stigma and the isolation that often becomes kind of a barrier to entry for folks to get the support and the healing care that they deserve.
Mm. So before we go any further, can you just, because you've said that we've got more and more trauma going on, and I think it's partly that more and more it's being recognized as trauma. So can you just talk a bit about what you mean when you're saying trauma?
Sure. Yeah, I think trauma is really any lived experience where we feel isolated, alone, where we lack safety and or support. Trauma is not just these really bad things that happen to us, right? Which a lot of folks identify that, well, I don't have trauma because I've, not been on the receiving end of a violent crime, or I've not been abused, or I haven't been in a war zone. I'm not displaced. I'm not a refugee. But, trauma can be too much too soon, or not enough for too long. So, a lot of folks who don't identify with having trauma in early development probably likely did not have reliable, consistent care. And in early development, that signals danger, right? If we don't have reliable, consistent care, and there's no guarantee that we're going to get our basic needs met, that can signal quite literally life or death, right? So that sets us up in this energy of hypervigilance, where we then need to either perform or hide parts of ourselves because subconsciously the message that we, are receiving is that something must be bad or wrong with us if we're not getting our needs met. So even though something fishy is happening in the environment, we turn the arrow on ourselves and just make the assumption in early development that something bad is happening out here because something's wrong with us, right? So that sets up, a lifelong patterning of hypervigilance, of hustling for our own worth, of really this pedal to the metal drive. And that's what I find with a lot of the leaders I'm working with. They've developed some level of success, but they're realizing they've never been able to take their foot off the gas. And, that's going to drain and deplete us. There's going to be a cost to that. And, that burnout is going to catch up with us.
And when you said before that you were leading in your previous work in the not-for-profit sector, you were leading from a place of trauma. So, what did that look like? How did that manifest? Do you think that it made a difference for the people that were working with you?
Sure. Looking back, I'm sure I was not cultivating the psychological safety and trust that today, as a leader, that I know is possible, because I was not able to carry or contain that within myself, right? So I think to be a leader is to be a vessel of healing and to regulate the collective nervous system. But if our nervous system hasn't yet landed, we're going to lack any capacity to support that in our teams. Right. And so it's kind of, at that point in my life, I was living from the neck up. Right. And so when we lack our own capacity to be in our own bodies, we lack presence and we lack agency. So I wasn't fully steeped within my power, which is really a presence, a capacity to be really present with myself and with, my team. So that has a caustic effect. And, a big piece of unresolved trauma is, having yet to really process the emotional impact of developmental needs, unmet needs, to really lack capacity to harness, the power of our emotion, which is often the message beneath our emotion that longs to be communicated. So, yeah, definitely lacked a lot of capacity, critical capacity in terms of communication. And again, I'm still in contact with a lot of folks on my team then. And to some degree, that was like normal. This was like, a team of, early 20 somethings in this nonprofit world. And, we're all just kind of figuring out how to human and how to adult. But if we have, if we are living in a culture that fosters this level of emotional intelligence and emotional attunement, We have a great capacity to develop, teams of collaboration and connection that really are centering, humanity.
And so how do we process the emotion that we need to, the emotion that's associated with trauma, in order to, bring the nervous system down to where, ideally it should be most of the time? What is that, where you say you use the energy healing and other, mindfulness kinds of techniques?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I'd say the three biggest benefits from energy medicine are just that: helping to regulate the nervous system, helping to calm the cardiovascular system, and helping to strengthen immune system function. And again, kind of coming back to that idea of reconnecting to our innate wisdom and breaking up that noise, what happens is we become more established in our wholeness. So we're not running around like a chicken with its head cut off, right? We feel like we are established, and we locate a sense of belonging within ourselves, which creates a whole new baseline of presence, right? And yeah, I think the mindfulness piece really helps us to dissolve identification with pain and wounding and the limitation of our pain and wounding, so we can live more in a place of possibility. So that's helping to reorient from pain to possibility. So that's helping us to kind of break free of our negativity bias and the catastrophizing, of, the mind that is always scanning for worst case scenarios. And I think as leaders, our job is to be aware of worst case scenarios, but really be scanning for best case possibilities.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. So you mentioned before the chemical imbalance thing that is often talked about in regards to mental health, or mental illness. And I know that you talk about the fact that talking about chemical imbalance is a lie, and you kind of hinted at that before, but can you go a bit more into that for us?
Sure. Well, the fact that research hasn't shown that chemical imbalance actually causes mental illness. But a lot of folks are told that, the chemical imbalance they have is what is the primary contributing factor to their anxiety or their depression. And so then they are, treating the chemical imbalance
with chemicals.
Medication. And again, I want to acknowledge that sometimes pain and symptom management are necessary. So I'm not here to make anyone wrong if that is, the course they're on. But I think it is important to acknowledge that, what are two big contributing factors to anxiety and depression are childhood attachment and trauma. And we have amazing capacity to heal the imprints of childhood trauma and to create more of a secure attachment. And when we do, then symptoms like anxiety and depression can often clear up. And, when we're using the word mental illness, and, I like to just kind of put a trauma-informed side note that what if even the term mental illness is not really the best term to use, because what if mental illness is really just unresolved trauma, right? Mm-hmm. Then mental illness, again, I think there's some stigma around that term, which then can make an individual suffering from anxiety or depression feel like something is wrong with them, or to feel like they are broken, or to feel that they are other. When if we're experiencing unresolved trauma, that's kind of just part of living in this messy world. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. It's rather something to acknowledge and then gather the right tools and support. And so my concern is that a lot of folks who are treating chemical imbalance with it can shortchange them from the opportunity to actually get access to deeper healing support to address attachment wounding and trauma.
And in your view, where does talk therapy sit?
You know, I think there is, again, I think there's a time and a place for everything. And therapy has been a really critical component in my healing. And there's just some pain that we can't think or talk our way through. And there's a lot of therapy, a lot of therapists that actually don't have a critical lens to actually work with trauma. A lot of therapy that isn't somatically oriented, meaning it's not actually tending to signals and messages and emotions and lived experience stored in the body. The conscious mind is like 5% of what we believe, right? The subconscious and the unconscious mind is actually what we really believe. And that's like 95% of the content that then is stored in the tissues and the cells and in the body. So if we are working to heal trauma, talking our way through it alone without working on a somatic and or energetic approach to actually tend to the needs of the body and the brain and the nervous system together, we can sometimes be doing more harm than good. We could be re-traumatizing, or we can kind of get caught in like a thinking, talking roundabout without actually addressing the wounding stored, you know, beneath the surface.
And so you, in the intro, I talked about how you've helped people with their dependence on medication. And, you know, I know you've talked through some of the ways in which you might do that, but kind of what does that look like in the practical sense as well? I'm assuming that people are, you know, maybe gradually working their way out of that dependence. Can you talk us through like an example of what that would look like?
Yeah, well, that's very individual. And that's actually not on my guidance or suggestion. That's more a side effect of my work. So how I work is non-diagnostic and non-prescriptive. So I don't actually interfere with, you know, any of the protocols or treatment programs that my clients are on in terms of medications and other treatments. I have a psychiatrist who actually refers patients to me. He reached out to me after one of his patients no longer needed the medication that he had been prescribing her for, you know, a period of time. To his credit, instead of just thinking he misdiagnosed her, he asked her, "Is there anything you're doing differently?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm working with Greg." And, you know, to his credit, he, instead of brushing that off, reached out to me. And then we started off a series of conversations where he got very curious about my work. And, you know, over the years has become, you know, a really great referral partner, where he refers patients to me with PTSD and complex trauma, because he understands that while he can, again, help his patients, you know, mitigate the effects or mitigate the symptoms by treating them medically or with medication, that there's deeper healing that can take place. And so he refers patients to me. And my goal is to, again, just help people get plugged into their innate wisdom so they restore their connection to their own wholeness. And that process is unique for each individual. And over time, you know, my clients who come from, you know, the psychiatrist, they continue to stay in treatment with the psychiatrist, and he continues to evaluate. And through his evaluation, he will, you know, make suggestions to wean off of or alter medications. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, you know, help his patients come off those medications altogether. Because they've done the deeper healing work with me, so they no longer need to be dependent on these medications.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you. So can you, I'm sure you'd like to talk a bit about Prisma and maybe more about Body Talk. Just tell us a bit more about that actual system that you've developed.
Sure. Yeah. So with Prisma, there is the Trauma and Neuroscience Roadmap, which is delivered through an 8-module course that is, people can explore at their own time. And that is really, I found that I was on a path of healing, going to healers and therapists for some time. And I knew I was on the right track, but I didn't really know where I was headed or where I was. And so the Trauma and Neuroscience Roadmap helps us to get our bearings straight so we don't have to travel on this healing path blindfolded. And then the 7 Prisma pillars are the essential dropped pins on that map. So then we do know precisely where we are and where we're headed. And those drop pins really take folks on a journey from pain to purpose. So that's nervous system regulation, embodiment, emotional attunement, the emotional intelligence piece, then a sense of orientation to our values that are less tethered to motivation, which is fear-based, and more tethered to inspiration, which is much more aspirational, right? So instead of what we're motivated to get away from, what are we inspired to move towards? And I think exploring that tension and healing is really important, and especially understanding our values in relationship to motivation and inspiration. The 5th pillar is narration, where we really are flipping the script on a lot of the subconscious and the unconscious behaviors and beliefs that we often have organized around pain and wounding, and how we can rewrite these narratives to help expand the aperture of the vision we have for our lives and for what's possible. And then identity is the 6th pillar, and identity is really shifting these fixed, rigid constructs we hold about ourselves, again, often organized around our wounding, so we can start to experience ourselves from a moment-to-moment awareness, which is really the birthplace of innovation and creativity and vision. And then the final pillar is impact. So really exploring purpose, but not from a place that is extrinsically motivated. I think purpose has been a buzzword over the last decade, but a lot of people are looking for purpose outside of themselves. And I like to think that I help folks mine the gold of unresolved trauma so they can derive a sense of meaning, purpose, place, and significance from the inside out. So really redefining purpose from a place of intrinsic motivation, and really the cultivation of healing states and the power of presence. So what if it's not so much what we do, but who we are, and how we do it? And there's studies that show that purpose is one of the core pieces of resilience. So when we lack a sense of purpose, it's really hard to live in a place of resilience. So those 7 Prisma pillars then kind of draw upon a lot of the somatic and mindfulness-based practices that I teach throughout the course. And then I actually offer guided practices for my students over a year's long period. So it's one thing to learn these principles, it's another thing to embody them. And so, and then from there, the energy medicine component is a Reiki 1, 2, and 3 training that folks have access to over these 9 one-day retreats online. And so folks can go through the entire curriculum within 3 months, but then have a year access to the community. Excuse me. And I look at the energy medicine as really the vehicle we need for healing. I look at the somatic and the mindfulness pieces as kind of the GPS, and they're paired with the roadmap of the trauma and neuroscience to give folks a really robust set of tools and practices that are designed to pair together so people have a healing practice for life.
Amazing. So is it like a live intake, or is it all online so people can do it anytime? And if so, do they get any access to you in person?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the Trauma and Neuroscience Roadmap is an online course that people have forever access to. The somatic and mindfulness-based practices are 3 guided practices that I lead each month. And then the energy medicine are 9 one-day retreats that are online, but that I'm teaching live. Yeah. So folks have direct access to me for those 9-day retreats over the entire year. Mm-hmm. Once people go through that entire process, then they've kind of developed all of the practices and tools. And then from there, I have in-person events that we then just kind of get to play in, play with all of the tools.
Okay. So the in-person events are for people who have done the training already?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. And then I think you mentioned you see people one-on-one as well, or, and do you do that in person or just online?
Yeah, I have a select space to work with folks one-on-one, and that's over a 9 or 12 month arc of transformation. And all of that's online. I work with clients over the phone primarily. All my clients are over the phone right now. If some clients prefer Zoom, that's fine, but I actually get just as good, if not better results over the phone.
Why do you think that is?
I'm working in the world of energy, right? And so so everything's energy, even through the physical body. But when I'm just working on the phone, I'm just tuning into the energetics and where, you know, the level of attunement that creates connection and safety for healing repair is really through our presence, right? And our presence permeates time and space. So I am just as present with, someone when I'm with them in person as I am online or over the phone. I used to work in the Yucatan Peninsula with Mayan shamans. And when I would bring students to the Yucatan, they would actually, and we're doing healing work on the students, they would actually have us put a white sheet over the student. So we're not actually distracted by the physical form and we can work directly with the energy body. And so I think that's another piece of it, just not being distracted by the physical and just connecting straight to consciousness, straight to energy, which, you know, is really at the heart of everything. You know, everything is energy, everything is consciousness. And so when we affect change at that root level, we can really catalyze a lot of transformation, both really effortlessly and rather quickly.
Yeah. And do you think with the phone versus Zoom, it's also about, it's that thing of like, you can have a really good conversation with your kid when you're driving in the car because you're not actually looking at each other?
Yeah, I think just being able to drop in and just be really present. And I think we probably all have so much Zoom fatigue now.
Yes.
Even if for folks that don't work with Zoom for a living, we just have too much screen time, which is drains the eyes and the brain.
Absolutely. So,
not looking at a screen, I think, is a really great thing.
Totally agree. So is there any... do you have any, specials or any particular programs or anything that you wanted to mention to people, anything that you offer, any freebies you have on your website or anything like that?
Yeah, I have the 7 Prisma Pillars, and that's a free guide, and that helps people to kind of go through a journey of the 7 Prisma Pillars to get a deeper feel for the arc of transformation that is Prisma. And so, folks, that's on my website, gregwhiting.com. And I forget the / but free download, something along those lines.
Yeah.
On the homepage.
Okay. All right. And are you, you've got this kind of niche with leadership in the leadership space, but are you, do you work with people outside of that space? Are you specifically seeking leaders to be your clients?
Yeah, people will self-select. So folks who are struggling with anxiety, depression, chronic pain, who have an understanding that, emotion and trauma are, part of this conglomeration of pain, are very much, self-selecting to work with me. A lot of healthcare professionals also choose to work with me to help address the impacts of secondary trauma and or caregiver fatigue. Who want to also just develop a healing practice, not only to support themselves, but then that can be applied in a healthcare setting to provide more of a trauma-informed approach to healing.
And did the psychiatrist who's your referral partner, has he done your actual training?
Nope, he hasn't.
No. Okay, interesting. All right. Is there anything else that you wanted to let people know, Greg, before we finish?
You know, I think healing is a commitment to defy odds. I think healing can be a long and windy road, but what I love about Prisma is, you know, the 20 years of traveling, you know, from continent to continent, to piece together all of these practices and tools and wisdoms, hopefully makes it a less long and a less windy road for others. And, you know, the body is designed to heal. We just need the right tools, the right support, and the right practices to help it do its job. And its, you know, remarkable capacity to heal is pretty awe-inspiring. So, you know, as much as I help people heal trauma, my goal is to really, again, focus on connecting people to that innate wisdom, which is really a place of awe, which is a place of inspiration, which is a place of possibility. And so if folks are really looking for more freedom, more power, more aliveness, you know, it all starts with a phone conversation. We just kind of discuss where you're at, where you'd like to be, and if, you know, working together can be a good fit for this journey.
Okay, wonderful. So you do it like a little initial chat before people have to commit to working with you. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's somewhere we get to suss out if we would be, you know, I'm all about win-wins, right? I want to help people get better. You know, I pride myself on results. And if I think people can get better results elsewhere, I'm going to send them elsewhere. And if I feel that we can do really great work and be compatible in healing work together, then I'll invite folks on board to work with me.
Great. So your website is gregwhiting.com.
Yes.
Yep. And the spelling of your surname is W-I-E-T-I-N-G, just so people know. Hopefully they'd find you if they spelt it a different way, but just to let everybody know that. So thank you so very much for your time today, Greg. I really appreciate having you on. I think that's all just wonderful food for thought for everyone and totally resonates with the work that I do as well. So it's been great to talk to you today.
Thanks for having me, Arwen. It's been a pleasure.
So there you have it, the final episode of series 4 of the 5-Star Wellbeing Podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it and that you enjoyed a lot of the other episodes as well. As always, I love to get your feedback. Would really appreciate it if you would give the podcast a star rating and even make a comment. That's even better. And as I mentioned at the start, I will be back again in 2023 at some point. If you are interested in working with me on energy healing, that is one of my key service offerings, which is, you know, very similar to what Greg does. So I would, of course, love to meet you. I do work virtually as well as in person in Victoria, Australia. But please feel free to hop on over to my website, evenstarwellbeing.com, and have a look at that or any of my other services. This episode is being recorded right at the end of 2022, just before or just in the middle of the festive season, really. So I do wish everybody all the very best in health and well-being. I hope you have love and peace and look forward to joining you again next year. Be well.